My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for being here today. I almost didn't make it myself. I left home about an hour and 15 minutes before Mass, and I usually get here in 20 minutes, and I barely made it because of the traffic. And I wasn't expecting to see very many of you here. I thought you would be blocked by the same traffic problems that I had, but here you are. So you must have come very early in order to avoid that crowd. So we're very, very happy that everybody's here. I'm especially happy to see the number of very young people who are with us this year. It looks very different than it has in the past. So a special welcome to you. I understand that the theme that's been set for today is youth and young adults, the present and the future of the church. So I would like to address my remarks primarily at those of you who consider yourself youth and even those of you who consider yourself young adults. Buffy, are you a young adult? Buffy is the one who introduced us today. She's probably the senior member of our community, but she has a young heart, so we're very, very happy that she's with us today. One of the characteristics of young people, especially in their romantic relationships with other young people, is that they want constant assurances that they are loved. That's not only true about the young, it's also true about those of us who are older. It's very important for us to hear people who love us tell us that they love us. It's not enough for us just to know it, we want to be told that. The reason I say that is because in today's first reading, we have an incident where God tells the king of the Jewish people to ask him for anything, and so that he can prove his love. Now, this king of the Jews didn't want to trust God. He wanted to be in a military relationship with the neighbors, to trust in military power rather than in God. And into that moment of this king's life, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God said these words. Listen to what God said to him. God said, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as another world or as high as the sky. Ask for anything you want." And the king said, "Oh, don't worry. I don't want to tempt the Lord." Actually, he didn't want the Lord to answer him. That's what he didn't want. And despite that, we have in this reading God's promise that he would be with the Jewish people forever. He said this, "The Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God promised that he would be with the Jewish people forever, and his name would be Emmanuel, which is God is with us. Okay. And we know God kept that promise when he became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, where the angel spoke to Mary and asked her to be the mother of Jesus, who is God, asking her to be the mother of God. And so God kept his promise when he sent Jesus, who truly is God is with us, because Jesus is God as well as a man. So Jesus is the sign of God's promise to be with us. And not just in a spiritual way, but in a very real and physical way, God took on our human nature, took on our human flesh, and became one of us. So God loves you, young people, not just as a group, but individually. You know, Jesus became a man for you, not just for us, for each one of us individually. And God loves us uniquely. That's the reason each one of you young people is different from anyone else who's ever lived on the face of the earth. You might look like your parents, you might look like your brother or your sister, but you're different than anybody who ever existed. God loved you uniquely and made you because he imagined you and he liked what he thought. So each one of us is a result of God's creative imagination. You know, God loves us so very, very, very much. That's point number two. The second thing I want to say to you young people is this. The most important thing in God's mind, in terms of our relationship with God, is that we trust him and we obey him. The reason he wants us to obey him is because obedience is a sign of trust. And just like your girlfriend wants you to be a trustworthy person, or your boyfriend wants you to be a trustworthy woman, God wants us to trust him and be the kind of woman or man that he can trust. And the way we show our trust in God is by listening to him and obeying him. In today's gospel, we have the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm sure you've been told this before, but when the angel Gabriel spoke to her in today's gospel, she was probably 13 or 14, certainly no more than 15 years old. She was a young person. Now, in those days, to be 15 years old would be a young adult. It wasn't just to be a young kid. Nonetheless, God came to her in her youth and asked her to be the mother of Jesus, who is our Savior. And what did she say when the angel spoke to her? After she asked the questions, so she had a clear understanding of what would be expected of her. She said, as we heard in today's gospel, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." The word handmaid is not a word we use very often in English. What it means is a little servant girl. So she said to God, "Look at me. I'm your little servant girl. You do to me as you say." It was an act of trust and an act of obedience, right? So the Feast of the Annunciation, the feast we celebrate today, is a feast during which we celebrate Mary's obedience to God. It's also a day on which we celebrate God's obedience in himself. You know, today we celebrate the fact that Jesus, who is the Son of the Father, obeyed his Father when he took flesh in the womb of Mary, his mother, to become a human being. You know, the Father sent Jesus to save us. So Jesus becoming one of us was an act of obedience, of trust in his Father. And we heard that in today's second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews, where we hear these words from the Psalms, but nonetheless, these are the words of God, where God said, "Suffering, a sacrifice rather, an offering you did not desire. But what you did desire was a body which you prepared for me." Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." Jesus became a human being in obedience to the Father, and his becoming a man was an act of obedience. So we celebrate Mary's obedience, but we also celebrate Jesus' obedience. And that's how salvation came to the world, through obedience. And the way salvation comes to the world today, and in the life of each one of you young people, and us old folks as well, is through obedience. You know, what obedience means isn't blindly doing what we're told. It's listening and then giving ourselves in love to the one we trust. You know, obedience to God isn't following rules. It's an act of love. It's a way of saying, "I trust you, and whatever you ask of me, I will do." And when Mary did that, Jesus took flesh in her womb, and that moment became the moment when our salvation began. So, this tells us two things, young people. First of all, you can ask God for anything. That's what God says in the first reading. You can ask me for anything, and I'm going to give it because I am with you. And the second thing we learn from today's scripture readings is if we want to be happy, if we want to be the source of salvation in the world, we have to be women and men who are obedient. And so you young people, as you start to pass through life, should make it a primary desire of your hearts to find out what God wants of you and then to do it. Because we know that's where you're going to be happy. Salvation comes through obedience. And obedience leads to great happiness. Now, some special words about our theme today, young people, the present and the future of the church. You know, sometimes we treat young people in the church as though they're not yet Christians. An example of that, and I imagine it's going to happen today here at the cathedral, is that when it's time to take up the collection, we always skip the young people. Why is that? It just happened recently when I was at a confirmation on a Sunday morning in one of our parishes, and at the usual time for the collection, the ushers came to the front and then passed by the first five rows on either side where the young people were sitting, as though that in the future they can give money, but not now because they're not yet fully Christian. I think that's silly. No. If giving money in a collection is a sign of wanting to participate in the work of God, which is what it is, why would we skip the young people? Why would we think they have to wait till they're older to participate in the work of God? Now, I'm not telling you to give money in the collection. What I'm telling you is sometimes the church treats you like you aren't yet Christians. And the theme of our day isn't young people, the future of the church. It's young people, the present and the future of the church. So that's just an example. What I'm trying to say to you, don't put it off. Don't decide that you're going to become a Christian sometime in the future. What the Lord wants from you is the gift of yourself now. I went to the seminary to be a priest when I was 13 years old. Everybody today says, oh, you were so young. But I wasn't so young. I mean, Mary was 13 or 14 or 15 when she agreed to be the mother of Jesus, and all I did was go to school, you know. And if God asked a young person at that moment in human history to be the most important person in the history of the world, and that's what Mary is, right? Before Jesus, she's the most important human being in the history of the world. Not just the most important woman, but the most important human being in the history of the world. And she was how old? 13 or 14 or 15 years old. So you don't wait to become a Christian. You have to do it today. And you'll be surprised at the wonderful things God will do in your life if you just give yourself to God and try to trust Him. Believe Him when He says, ask me for anything. And then give yourself to Him in obedient love. Now, the young people here today, for the most part, are from the newly arrived peoples here in the United States. And you have a unique position, because many of you, I imagine, were born here, even though your parents were born in Asia or Africa or South America or Europe. Different parts of the Oceania, different parts of the world. So you are what they refer to as the first generation of the New Americans. And that gives you heavy burdens, but also great possibilities. The heavy burden is this, that you're different than your parents. And they want you to be just like them. And you don't want to be like them. You want to be like the Americans, right? You know, you love your tradition, you love your family, but you like America. And you want to be like all the other kids. So that's a great burden. Some of you may be here without papers, you know, in terms of legal status in the United States, and that makes life very difficult for you because it gets in the way of your going to school appropriately or getting the kind of job you want. It's frightening, it's scary because you don't know how stable your family is going to be if mother and dad are going to be taken away by the government officials if they don't have legal status. I mean, that's a very heavy burden for young people to carry. And the church understands that and wants to be with you in that difficult moment, with you and with your families. But you have great possibility. And you can be the bridge between your parents and the rest of the American culture, not only in the sense that you speak the English language more easily or better than they do, but also because you are truly bicultural. I mean, you really do have one foot in this world and one foot in the next world, in the past world, rather, that your parents come from. You know, you see, you're special in a very, very precious way. And, you know, as is true about all young people, you are a unique and special gift to the church. You're like a blood transfusion. I don't know if you know people who get old and they need blood transfusions, but when they're old and their blood is weak, they're tired and they're listless, you know, and when they get a blood transfusion, it makes them young again, at least for a little while. And that's what you do for the church. You know, you make the church young because you are the church. It's not just something that you become later on in life. You are the church now. But you need to act like it and assume responsibility. It's not enough for you to just receive from the church. You have to give to your brothers and sisters in the church community. I wish everybody in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia could be with us today and just look at you. Now, this is the face of the church, not just of the future, but of the present. And it's a beautiful face. You know, many, many different cultures, many different ethnic backgrounds, the richness of each one of those cultures, the uniqueness of the history of the country that your family's from, with all the suffering and all the glory that was part of that history. I mean, you are just a wonderful, wonderful gift to the church. You make us think differently. You make us smile differently. You make us live differently. You make us believe more deeply. And for that, we are very, very grateful. So, what's the main message? Three main messages. One is, ask God for anything and trust Him. Second, if you want to be happy, obey Him and look for what He wants from you in your life. And the third, and I think most important thing really, is do it now, not just in the future. And you can begin by giving something in the collection today. I'm just joking. That was just a joke. Because you're probably not prepared to do that. But I want you to do it tomorrow on Sunday when you go to Mass. You know, you just start doing everything that adult Christians do. You read and you sing and you lead people. You teach young people in your church community. You do it all now. Because Mary, the mother of Jesus, the beginning of our salvation, was just 13 years old when she said yes to God. May God bring to completion the good things He begins in our lives today.